What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck, and Jillian is peppy as always, right, Jay?
I'm an honor little fucker today. You people have no idea what I've been through.
Well, then explain, before we get to dumbest thing, explain why you are so... The word I'm going to use is peppy.
No, aside from adventures and going to Walmart 2 days before Christmas because I had to get some stuff and all of that, I just sat through a fucking Christmas Story 2, the official sequel, which will be going on the Snob site, which this is all moot because it'll be on already by the time you guys hear this. But as a break, we get to try Jones Soda from 2006 that tasted like salty ass water or something that was fermenting in one of Brad's shoes. And now I'm here to talk, so I am just completely amped up. It's been a long, full day, and my dander's up. How have you been, Josh? Joshua?
Not too bad. I'm not drunk like you.
I am not drunk, okay? Jill had to hang out with Jack Daniels to ease the pain, but it was just whilst we were shooting the review. So please, I'm like fucking Marion from Raiders. It's not going to take like 7 sips of Jack to get me drunk. I'm more flustered and just kind of out of sorts from everything that's happened today, and not just the movie and the soda thing. Like, that was quite an ordeal.
Look at it like this. With all the bullshit that's gone down just in the last 2 weeks, and, you know, we had a pretty heavy gun control show last week. Dumbest Thing will be kind of light. Well, on the whole show kind of will be. But after Dumbest Thing, I'm just going to kind of turn you loose. So let's just get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Jillian, you know what? You're too attractive. I'm firing your ass.
Oh, that's sweet. Just my ass? Can the rest of me come into work? Like, can I stand up and still record?
Do you guys see what I have to put up with? My God.
They can't see. It's radio.
I am referring to the Iowa Supreme Court decision that says it is legal for an employer to fire another employee for being too attractive.
I'm too sexy for my job. Too sexy for my job.
Iowa dentist James Knight testified that he found his employee, Melissa Nelson, on several occasions wearing clothing that was too tight, and it was, quote, revealing and distracting. And then it turned out his wife found that he, Knight, the employer, was sending Nelson texts asking her questions such as how often she had an orgasm. Knight's wife said Nelson was a threat to their marriage, so Nelson lost her job. She sued over it. Rightfully, she's a little pissed. Well, at the same time, she lost.
Here's the thing real quick on that. Yes, on rules on not wearing revealing clothing, things like that. I mean, jobs have dress codes, so for that, she could have been like terminated just on the grounds alone, being like, dude, you need to dress appropriately for your job.
Except that's not what they testified to in court.
Would you let me finish? I'm saying, so jobs have dress codes, okay? If I went in and I'm working in a law firm and I walk in like lingerie or corset or something, they're gonna be like, dude, you can't wear that. This is like a respectable business place. On those grounds, yeah, you can get fired for that. As for the whole texting thing and, you know, she's a threat, fire her. It says they exchange texts back and forth, so it would seem that technically he could get sexual harassment charges since he, you know, asked how often she orgasms. I mean, I'm sure there's more to that that was a back and forth type thing. Legalities are concerning what you can and cannot sue for sexual harassment, but it seems more like a sexual harassment case.
Except, and I'd agree with you. Except for the fact that they didn't testify to any of that. They testified that her just being too attractive, Knight being too attracted to her, was a distraction in the workplace. Keeping aside...
So can you fire dudes? Like, can you be like, oh, dude, you are too hottie and you're married and I can't have you, so you need to leave. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So it's like, you might lose the case, be like, what, blah, blah, blah. And so basically you're going to have the court's rule be like, no, she wasn't that pretty. You shouldn't have fired her. You see what I'm saying? Of like the craziness that can ensue here.
But it also leads to outright discrimination. What's going to happen the next time someone in Iowa applies for a job? We can't hire you, ma'am. You're totally qualified, but you're too attractive. This ugly woman doesn't have the qualifications as you, but she doesn't get my dick hard, so she gets the job.
Well, not only that, but let's say, okay, someone gets the job. Well, first of all, in workplaces, so many workplaces are like, okay, no inter-office romances between superiors. It's obviously you can become kind of partisan with scheduling pay, you know, promotions, things like that. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm going to take this little hottie patati for my secretary. What? You don't want me? Well, you're fired. But then by laws of sexual harassment, like, we really should have looked up what the sexual harassment laws were in Iowa, because it's kind of...
Yeah, but this is also Iowa we're talking about, so I'm sure there's something to do with corn being stuck into an orifice or fucking a cow.
Oh, not everybody that lives in Iowa does that.
Let's just say this was a pretty dumbest thing.
It is, and it's going, I'm sure it's going to come up sometime in the future of the show where shenanigans shall escalate.
I'm sure it will. But now, you asked for the next full segment, you asked for an opening tirade, correct?
I did. However, I'm feeling a little guilty now and at the same time excited, like it's a Christmas present, because I didn't realize this was our last show of the year. I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, wait, this isn't our last show, is it? And he's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, this,
like,
airs on the 29th.
Yeah, we did want to do a retrospective, but Josh has been lazy.
Hey, that's not the order of events.
Oh, I'm sorry. Josh was being lackadaisical. So for those of you who may or may not heard the show, and I'm sure all of you guys listen to every single episode, right? Weeks back, before I took a hiatus, and then, you know, the gun stuff came up, I talked about a man, Tony Effing Harris, and that's E-F-F-I-N-G. Basically, and I've been promising this for a while, is I'm going to go on my rant about the anti/fake gamer and geek girl rants that people go on. So essentially this guy, and he actually has done comics. So he's somewhat notable, not, you know, extremely mainstream, but he's got enough of a fan base. He goes to cons, sells things. A lot of people actually know of his work as this was.
He's done some pretty big titles, nothing really spectacular. And I'm a comic guy. Mm-hmm. He did like an issue of the Nightmare on Elm Street series from Innovation in the 90s, Doctor Strange in the 90s, Punisher in the 90s. In the 2000s, he's done like Batman's Legends of the Dark Knight, some JSA stuff. Nothing that really jumps out at me, and I'm the comic fan.
Right, but there are people that are like, oh crap, he wrote that. And I, this was a while ago. Based on this rant as well, and before I go into this, you may argue, oh, well, it's his Facebook, it's his Twitter. He can say whatever he wants. However, you're basically bashing a good portion of your fan base / consumer base. You know, it's like you're saying all these girls are fake, and then not only girls are getting offended, you're going to have guys offended that have girls that are geeks. I mean, it's very insulting, comes off very misogynistic. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. You want to follow along, what have you, because I'm going to try and breeze through this so as not to bore you with the sound of my voice consecutively without Josh saying something asinine.
Hey.
If you go to geekjuicemedia.com, click on the forum section. It is under podcasts, what the fuck, Tony Harris anti-woman cosplay rant. All right, Tony Harris went ahead, and he was going on his Twitter, too. I don't have, like, obviously all the tweets saved, but this is from, and, like, this is how psychotic I am. I'm like, what? Fuck this. Print screen, I'm going to the forums, and then somebody releases an update, and so I'm like, giant red letters, update, print screen, post it on the forum, just because it's like, yeah, it's bringing news via forum. All right, here's what he says, and remember, keep in mind that he is a comic artist who goes to cons to sell his work. I can't remember if I've said this before, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't give a crap. I appreciate a pretty gal as much as the next hetero male. Sometimes I even go for some racy type stuff, keeping the comments PG for my lady's sake. But damn it, I am so sick and tired of the whole cosplay chicks. I know a few who are actually pretty cool and, big shocker, love and read comics. So as in all things, they are the exception to the rule. Here's the statement I want to make based on the rule. Hey, quasi-pretty, not hot girl, you are more pathetic than the real nerds who you secretly think are really pathetic. But we are on to you. Some of us are aware that you are ever so average on an everyday basis, but you have a couple things going your way. You are willing to become almost completely naked in public, and you're YER. Either skinny, well, some or most of you think you are, or you have big boobies. Notice I didn't say great boobies. You are what I refer to as con hot. Well, not by my estimation, but according to a lot of average comic book fans who, either rarely speak to or never speak to girls. Some virgins all unconfident when it comes to girls, and the one thing they all have in common, they're being preyed on by you. You have this really awful need for attention, for people to tell you you're pretty or hot, and the thought of guys pleasuring themselves to the memory of you hanging on them with your glossy open lips, promising the moon and stars of pleasure, just makes your head vibrate. After many years of watching this shit go down every 3 seconds around or in front of my booth or at my table at any given con in the country, I put this together. Well, not just me. We are Legion, and here it is, and the rest is in caps. The reason why all that sickens us, because you don't know shit about comics beyond whatever Google image search you did to get ref on most mainstream character with the most revealing costume ever. And also, if any of these guys that you hang on tried to talk to you out of that con, would you give them the fucking time of day? Shut up, you damn liar. No, you would not. Lying, liar face, you're YER, not comics. You're just the thing that all comic book and mainstream press flock to at cons. And the real reason for the con and the damned costumes you're parading around in, that would be comic book artists and comic book writers who make all that shit up. I'm going to go ahead and read his update because it's almost more rage inciting than, you know, what he previously wrote, and it was supposed to kind of be a rebuttal and excuse, I guess. So here's my follow-up commentary. Try to engage my detractors on Twitter. Big mistake. Not going to backpedal. Not one step. I tried to be clear at the beginning by saying how I know there are legit cosplayers who know the material and love it. If you want to gloss over that and accuse my statements of being all-inclusive cosplay, then blow me. See, this is why I posted it here on my page. You don't like it? Leave. Don't threaten to stop buying my work because I'm sure most of you who threw that gauntlet down never did to begin with. Good riddance. Hey, all of you self-righteous fuckfaces out there who are spewing even more hatred at me than you accused me of spewing, pfft. Really? That's how you come at me? Once you have moved on and hate someone else, good riddance. But the one thing I have to address is use the word misogyny. So I am a misogynist? Why? Because I frown upon posers who are sad, needy fakers who use up all of my Eric Krons? Sorry. While you cosplay, I'm actually at my work. That's my office. Fuck you. I actually don't hate women. I don't fear them either, nor do I mistrust them. I do not portray or objectify half-naked women in my work. I never have. I have always been very vocal about my dislike of that practice, and that my view is and has been that TNA in comics is a pox. If you want to come at me with accusations of misogyny and sexism, you'll be wrong. I think there are several hundred pros I could rattle off that are doing a fine job of perpetuating that crap without any help from me. It's not helping to further our industry. Hey, haters, I'm not sad, lonely, stupid, uneducated, gay, nor do I wear asses for hat. I know somebody that called him an asshat. I'm not sexist and have been very vocal about the fact that it is a good thing to see so many female fans at shows, and I treat them with the same kindness and respect I do any male fan I meet. I guess the one mistake I made in my original post was I excluded men. Let me rectify that. Some of you men are as bad as some of the women cosplayers I talked about earlier. There. Oh, and to all of you guys who are my friends and pros who I work with, don't go and try and defend me or anything I wrote. You'll just get shit on. Thanks, though. And lastly, Bleeding Cool and Rich Johnston are shithead scumbags, and this isn't the first time his camp has come after me. Fuck you, Rich.
As a comic fan, I can see why people were so pissed off about this, but at the same time, I actually am going to play a little devil's advocate. I can actually see what he was trying to say initially, although he did say it in a very Archie Bunker, ultra-misogynistic way. What he was trying to say, and these people do exist, there are those fake cosplayers that he was talking about. The kind that, this is something a lot of people don't know about some of the cosplayers, and I emphasize some at comic conventions, they'll hire a pretty model, maybe has never read a comic book in her life, to portray Vampirella and walk around the con to promote the new Vampirella book. If that is what he was referring to,
no,
he
not.
Is correct. I know, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Okay,
so
I'm sorry. I'm so enraged. Okay.
So there are those instances where, yes, there's someone that does not give a shit and that they would look down their nose at the people that would be legitimately going to the con. But that is a significantly tiny number that it's almost inconsequential. And yeah, it's usually pretty obvious to tell who the paid models are and who the fans are.
They're just standing behind the tables of the people. They're not really like walking around, you know?
No, a lot of times they're actually paid to walk around to kind of, hey, there's a new Vampirella comic out and look how sexy I am.
Okay, yeah, but this one Like, he's referring to them as only being con hot or you think you're hot. Like, all of the vocabulary he uses are just hating on the majority of the of girls, and he calls it the rule and saying that they know nothing of comics other than what they did to Google, you know, the most skimpy outfit, using up their air at his office. It's like, sorry, you paid for a fucking table to sell your shit. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can pay $600,000, $300,000, depending on the con, what have you, and get a table and sell your shit. Your stuff sells because, you know, people like it, and you have just come out and made yourself a colossal, or to quote Patrick Bateman, a tumbling, tumbling dickweed. So the thing is, he's not talking about these paid marks or what have you. He's talking about girls who have complexes, who, you know, want to be scantily clad and get attention and yada, 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 which doesn't apply. It's like, dude, I've been to fucking cons. Like, the only thing that sometimes it applies is like, all right, you're going out with someone, they're totally into the cosplay and shit. You not so much. You may not even know what you're dressed as, but you're there. That applies on both sexes. However, you're still not fucking preying on people. As many of these cons as I've went to, and as skimpy as outfits as I have seen, and I have not even gone near skimpy as stuff I've seen, yes, some of them definitely have the body, some of them don't. I don't even ever look down on them and be like, oh, you think you're hot? I'm like, fucking A for having the balls to wear that because you love that character. That is awesome. So these people, you know, nobody is praying. Like, there's no girls on the corners dressed as basically straps covering things being like, hi, nerdy boy, why didn't you come here? Like, no. And then they're just like normal. It is just unreal. Like, he had to have been drunk or on something. And then the comment about, like, this is why I put it on my Facebook. It's like, guess what? You know, if you worked for pretty much anywhere and you start saying, let's say, and this is an extreme, obviously, like anti-Semitic or just, you know, racist things. It's like you can get fired for that for a lot of jobs.
Well, yes, and there actually has been some fallout in that regard. He hasn't been fired, but you got to remember, he works for DC Comics. DC Comics is owned by Warner Brothers.
Right.
Warner Brothers has codes of conduct.
Right. And that's what I was just
he hasn't been fired, but I'm sure he got pulled into some, if not DC executive's office, then higher up at Warner Brothers. And they basically, look, you're alienating the people who we want to buy our product. Knock it the fuck off or you're not going to work here any longer. I don't have no proof of this, but I guarantee that that conversation happened after this.
Not only that, but when you are affiliated with anybody, even unofficially, you do represent them somewhat, even on the smallest level, because you have those people that are like, what? Oh, this guy's with what? Whoa, so that's what they think of us? Like, are all artists like this? The defense of saying this is why it's on my Facebook, blah, blah. It's like, all right, well, you've like friended probably everybody on your Facebook. It's a social media outlet to promote your shit. And you are literally saying, fuck you to these people. Not, you know, in between the lines. He literally says, fuck you. And a lot more colorful sentences as well. Yeah, it's your page, but your fans are seeing it. And so you're gonna get lashback. Because it's like, oh, hi, you know, I've bought your stuff or, you know, I'm in the business and you are being a jackass. And I mean, again, this is like old news, but the whole fake geek or non-existent gamer girl. I mean, we talked about the Nixie Pixel girl.
Well, we're going to talk about gamer girls and that
general,
gamer culture
yeah.
in the third segment. So let's leave games out of it right now.
But I know, I'm just explaining that's why, you know, we're doing this right now because it is somewhat an old topic, but I was just, you know, you come off as like not caring. It's like good riddance, whatever, fuck face, like really.
And see that good riddance part is the part where I'm sure someone at Warner Brothers pulled him into their office because he was basically saying, I don't want you to buy my book. And by my book, he means Warner Brothers book.
Right.
Warner Brothers is not going to sit well for that.
Well, and even then in his quote unquote apology or correction, it's a fucking smartass. It's like talking to like a little kid, be like, say you're sorry. Sorry, there, I said it. It's like, really, you know, it's like, oh, sorry, there's male fans there. There, I said it. And it's just, oh my God. Yeah, if you want to read this, again, geekjuicemedia.com. Go to the forums. It'll be podcasts. What the fuck? You can't miss it. Tony Effing Harris, anti-woman cosplay rant.
But then there's also the fact that let's also talk about girls at comic cons, for example.
I love
comic books have become so acceptable and hit the mainstream in such a way yes, maybe in 1983, it was rare to see a girl at a comic book convention, let alone a pretty girl. Nowadays?
Like, really taking up your air that you rented at your little table at your job? No, your job is to sit, like, it's not your job to sit there and sell your comics. It's your job to make them. You're selling them to try and make more money, and you're not going through a middleman. So you should kind of be nice to the people breathing your air because they're at your table buying your shit, which they're not going to do anymore after you be big dickweed. Like, there's characters I like that I know they're from comics. I don't know necessarily about their comic, but I know of them, and I like them from, you know, the games and, you know, movies or what have you I've seen. And that's the thing with comic cons anymore. They're not strictly comic books. Like, you have a large array. I mean, fuck, Wizard World.
They're basically just nerd. They're basically nerd cons now.
You've got anime. You've got video games. I mean, just anything under the sun. Fuck, I found at the last one we went to, and it was, you know, mainly comic, but it had all this other stuff. I mean, you've got fucking, like, they're selling the Rocky Italian Stallion robes, which was fucking awesome. Does that have anything to do with comic culture? No. There was a Warriors jacket for sale from the Warriors that was really expensive, but I really wanted it.
In the 1990s, Cerebus artist and writer Dave Sim went on a misogynistic rant in his book. And it followed him for the rest of his career. And his career never really recovered. He lost a whole lot of people that refused to ever work with him again. This is coming to him, too. He basically, he threw the anchor overboard and tied a bunch of his future employers to it.
Well, and here's the thing. He's also insulting his male fan base and insulting the females in the first part. Where he says, a lot of average comic book fans who either rarely speak to or never speak to girls, some virgins, all unconfident when it comes to talking to girls, blah, blah, blah.
Just like, enforce that stereotype,
just, yeah,
huh?
You've just pigeonholed your male stereotype. Like, really?
But just like any stereotype, yes, there are going to be ones that that applies to. There also far fewer are going to actually fall into that category.
And he's saying this is the rule. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're like the god authority on, you know, geek and gaming culture and comics. Like, it just upsets me because I'm a cosplayer. I love going to conventions. And it's really daunting. And I think I may have mentioned this before when we got back from the last anime con. I consider myself an anime buff. Do I consider myself the end-all be-all? No. I know there's people with just, like, walls plastered with anime. I mean, I go to these cons, and, like, I feel sometimes, like, almost I'm a poser. I'm like, oh, my God, half of the stuff I've, like, never even heard of. And it's a great way to get into new stuff. Does that mean I'm a fake anime fan? No. I've got a shit ton of anime. It's like, there's just so many. You know, that's like saying, like, you know, oh, you've never seen this, you know, obscure sci-fi. Well, you're not a sci-fi, but, you know, I mean, it's just... And I'm not saying there aren't fakers, not so much fakers, but people that don't understand that they're really not. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody is ever really posing.
Poser,
like,
I think, is the poser is the word you want.
But I don't even think that it's intentional. It's more so that they think they're in that culture. Kind of like, it's like if you say, oh, I'm a computer tech because I know how to defrag my computer. Like, that kind of mentality. Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up because there's just so much subject matter, and I was just informed that there's not much time left. So next segment after Heart, we are going to talk about the father who hacked Wind Waker to make basically Link into a girl. And then we're just going to talk in generalities of the whole gamer and stereotype of, you know, fake versus not fake, et cetera, et cetera. So
I've got some things to say about that, too.
That's fine, but I get to go first because we're running out of time.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from American Horrors here. And before we get into the latest heart attack, I want to talk to you folks about my sponsor, SafeSig.com. I was at a party recently, and I looked around the room at all the smokers as they chatted away, and you know what I noticed? I noticed that about half their money burned up in smoke, literally. If you're a smoker of regular cigarettes, you know that when you're chit-chatting and having a good time at a party, your cigarette's hanging out of your mouth, it's in your fingers, and it's smoking away. So that means your money is going up in smoke. But if you have a safe cig, no tar, no ash, no secondhand smoke, every puff goes in your lungs. That means every penny you spend on a safe cig is going to go right into your lungs where it belongs. So go to safesig.com, use the code word horror, and get 20% off.
So, Hart, you arrived late for recording again for our last show of the year. Do you want to tell the audience why?
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. I was eating dinner, and dinner went a little bit late, And, you know, the funny thing is I live in Highland Park, California, and it has become Hip Highland Park. Now, the newspapers do not report the gang war that is happening here. There's a major gang war between the Avenues, the Highland Park gang, and Dogtown. They are shooting the fuck out of each other. They're killing each other like crazy to the point where it's a nightly smorgasbord of helicopter noise and squad cars. But if you listen to the newspapers, it's Hip Highland Park. And tonight, in one of Hip Highland Park's new restaurants, Maximiliano's, I had Richard Belzer sit down with his family to eat dinner tonight. That was kind of crazy. I'm sitting there looking at my wife, and I wrote a little note to her to tell her, hey, Richard Belzer just sat down next to us. She's Japanese, so she doesn't always know who these famous people are. And I just was like, man, I was dying to say something. And it was actually really hard for me.
Yeah, you're like, that's months from Homicide, damn it.
Months from Homicide, and, you know, I remember him as a comedian. I think he's really, really funny and sharp and smart, so it was a hell of a thing for me to sit there and just keep my mouth shut and let the famous person have their dinner. I work in the business, but I love what I do. You know, part of the reason I started American Horror is because I love it. I love horror. I love horror films, and making a channel that plays all the movies I never got to see is truly a dream come true. So I deal with people that I'm like, you know, being friends with Danzig and knowing all the people I know, doing videos with Obituary, what have you. I still get starstruck. You know, I was gum smacked meeting Henry Rollins. I'm a big Henry Rollins fan. And I just kept my mouth shut when I met him and just did my thing. And so tonight that was kind of cool, kind of fun. I wanted to share that with you guys. I'm late frequently, and Josh is really fucking cool about that. So I want to say, Josh, thank you.
Not a problem. I give you a little leeway.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And speaking of giving people leeway, let's get into what I want to blow up about tonight. Because I'm really, really... How many people out there who are listening have friends that are in jail for drug charges? How many people out there have family that are sitting in prison right now because they had marijuana in their car, or they had a bag of weed in their pocket? We're talking about tonight, HSBC, Europe's largest bank by market value, has been convicted of money laundering for the drug cartels and money laundering for terrorist organizations. Comic book that has been halted from being printed in America because the government says that it's supporting terrorism. In the meantime, this bank, the HSBC, is going to pay $1.9 billion to the United States Authority so that none of its members go to jail for the criminal acts they have perpetrated. That's right, folks. Our government is making a deal with the people that money launder terrorist money. So on the one hand, we're going to seize what's probably a couple thousand bucks for a comic book writer. They're going to seize his fucking paycheck over a comic book, but we're going to let the banking industry off. We're going to let a rich fat cat banker off. And you want to know why? Here's what our government said. Our government said that this bank was too big. They said that it was too important that they stay in business for any of us to put them in jail for their crimes. How many people have died from terrorist acts that were financed through the HSBC? I'd love to know that. Who the fuck in our government thinks that bankers are more important than our family members that have gone to jail over a fucking $500 marijuana possession beef? Yet you can money launder for murderers and terrorists, and you can be free on the streets. You can walk around with your head up high. You just got to pay a little bit of money.
Yeah, why isn't Homeland Security stepping in? Why isn't the Justice Department stepping in and saying, hey, we know you're laundering for the cartel or for Al-Qaeda or whatever it is. We want their routing information. We want their banking information.
Josh. I'm going to have to cut you off here. Fuck that. I want to see motherfuckers in jail. We are torturing Haji from Afghanistan. We're taking American citizens that fight in Afghanistan for the Muslims. We're throwing them into prisons in Egypt. We're sending guys over to torture them. But if you're a banker and you're helping them buy their guns, I guess it's okay. I guess it's okay if you're a banker. That's what our government's saying. The government is saying if you make so much money for us, it won't matter what you do.
Enough
That's classism. Isn't that what the Republicans are talking about leading up to this election? They're saying that when we want to tax rich people the same way that poor people are taxed, that's class warfare. Well, isn't this what we're seeing here? That if you make so much money for a bank, you are above the law. They have just told us that this bank is above the law, that every single person who works for that bank is above the law. And I say, wrong, motherfucker. We got to do shit about this. We got to take our politicians and put fucking feet to the fire. Our politicians work for us, guys. And the more you make politicians nervous, the more they're going to do what you want to do. Because at the end of the day, if you follow every war, if you follow the war, if you have friends that are in the Army, if you have friends that are war veterans, they will tell you that political concerns outweigh military concerns. Politics supersedes military and criminal concerns consistently. And what are we seeing here? This is politics, folks. I am absolutely furious that people are being thrown in jail because they made a post on Facebook, but a dude who's helping terrorists get their money so they could blow up another innocent person, they're fine. They're A-okay.
Enough zeros at the end of a signed check can buy a whole lot of forgetfulness from the United States government.
It really seems that way, man. It really seems that it's bought and paid for. And they made this whole show years ago about trying to prosecute some billionaire in this country for flying ecstasy around in his private plane to party with his buddies on. And that's what you're going to spend your money on. You're going to spend your money on that horse shit instead of putting guys who help terrorists get money in jail. I'm furious. How come there's no concessions made against this bank? How come this bank doesn't have all its property seized? Because if you're doing drugs, if you're selling drugs in this country, how come we haven't seized every fucking asset HSBC has in America? How come we haven't grabbed every fucking bit of it? Because it's financed with narco dollars and terrorist money. So how come we haven't applied the same laws about drug seizures and seizing people's property that are involved in drug money? How come we haven't seized the property of HSBC? Fuck putting people in jail. They're taking people's shit. How come they haven't taken their shit?
If Citizens United is to be believed and corporations are people, remember that the corporations bandied about for the right to be considered a person as a corporation, then shouldn't they be subject, the corporation, to the same penalties that an individual would have for the same infractions?
And here's the thing, guys. HSBC is paying a $1.9 billion fee. They're paying a forfeiture fee and money in civil penalties. To this bank, that's 5 weeks of work.
Yeah.
How much money did they make off of all this illegal drug money laundering? Did they make that much money or more? How come we haven't seized their property the way they would seize my house? If I was dealing drugs out of my house, they'd take my house. If I bought a car with drug money, they'd take the car. How come they haven't taken the things that HSBC has bought? They don't sit there and go, oh, we're going to separate this purchase from your regular business, because a lot of drug dealers have, they're called cover businesses. They're called fronts. A front is a business that you have so you don't arouse suspicion for having money. You'll have a fake company. So how come they're not separating these things? They don't. That when they grab a drug dealer, they don't separate what he made from the real company from what he made from the drug company. They grab everything, the boats, the cars, the edible underwear, everything, guys. So how come no one has grabbed HSBC's property? We're talking about a terrorist goddamn operation here. Drug lords. That's what the fuck we're talking about here. We're not talking about GM needed a loan. That's different. Did GM need a loan because terrorists were running money through them? No. That's a different thing. I'm talking about terrorism here. The number one thing on everybody's mouth in this country as the TSA tries to stick a finger up your asshole when you're going through the fucking go to get your plane somewhere, yet HSBC can money launder like crazy. I'm talking about regular people who obey the law and then people with money who don't. That's what I'm talking about here. These are rich, fat cat motherfuckers who are laughing at you, me, and every other working class American. And there's far more of us than there are of these rich, fat fucks. And they think they got it wired. They think they got this thing locked up. Well, I'll tell you something, you HSBC cocksuckers. It ain't over yet. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, and it ain't over yet. And what I know about America is we go back on our contracts quite a bit. Talk to the American Indians about that. We don't live up to our contracts
in America. Or the Japanese.
Yeah, talk to them about it. Or talk about anybody in Wisconsin selling out you and me. And I'm fucking furious. And this is the same people that sent guns down to Mexico and got American law enforcement officers killed. This is the same kind of fallacy where they believe that you're above the law. And this is why they're trying to control the internet, because we're reading about it, because we're talking about it right now on the air. And we're going to change this. All you assholes in power, it's a myth. What you have now is built on sand. We, the people, can change things in a heartbeat. We're rising up all across this fucking country. There are people rising up and making a change. Now, your local newspaper might not report that, but your freebie giveaway paper will. There are people that are getting interested in their own governments like crazy all over the world. That's why they're trying to pass crazy internet laws, to sit on your ability to discuss with other people what's wrong with this country. It's a lot harder to hide this stuff, because this HSBC settlement should be front page news. It should be right on the front fucking page, but it's buried in the business section. This is a big deal. They literally said, these guys are too important to put in jail. Well, fuck you. You're not reading about HSBC in the paper because the powers that be want to put you under their thumb. Well, we're free, guys. We're free. We're going to stay free. And that's part of what Heart Attack is all about. My TV channel, American Horrors, we're starting up a news division. I've been working on it for about a year, and our news division is going to be fucking scarier than any goddamn horror film we've got. And you know what's even scarier? FearNet, we're free now. www.filmon.com.
Explain to people the whole Zelda is now a girl thing.
Well, it's not Zelda is now a girl. What this is it's a father that actually hacked Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, which was the GameCube Legend of Zelda game. Essentially, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Basically, he turns Link into a girl with the verbiage, because Legend of Zelda is all subtitled. They speak through their, you know, emotions and gestures and things like that, and everything's subtitled, because Miyamoto had always said that, you know, you're the adventurer, you give these characters life yourself. So gods be praised that it stays that way when he no longer has a large hand in it. So basically, he changed all the font to, you know, she's and hers and blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Yeah, all right, kind of sweet, but if this girl does not know her father did that, because it's unclear in the article, it's a little gray. So if it's unclear, it's like there's already the stigma against girls not knowing their shit. She's going to go to school when she's a little older and be like, oh yeah, I love in Wind Waker. Well, Link was actually a girl reincarnation. They're going to tear her fucking apart. Like, for serious. And even if she already knew, it's like, it's moot. Like, he's quoted as saying, oh, well, I'm not going to have my girl grow up in a world that, you know, she thinks that she can't save her brother, be a hero. Nobody fucking looks at Legend of Zelda and is like, Link's a boy. I can't do anything because I'm a girl. There are so many different games where you don't have gender customization. It doesn't make them any less palpable. It doesn't make them any less fun. Nobody looks at them like, no guy that I know anyway, I'm sure maybe there were some, went to Perfect Dark, which kind of like 007 Goldeneye.
I was going to say, it was kind of like James Bond, but with a spandex chick.
Yeah, it was James Bond, and then it ended up with like aliens and things like that. My brother fucking loved that game. I have tons of friends that love that game, and they're guys, all right? So they didn't look at that being like, I mean, when, like, I think it was probably the first one that did this, Metroid for the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yep, Samus.
You finally found out that Samus was actually a girl. And yeah, back then we were like, what? Samus is a girl. It's like, ha 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 ha. But again, you know, so gaming has evolved so much. That was really the first instance of like,
What?
So, I mean, you've got this, it's like, it's kind of moot, and people are like, oh, this is sweet, or oh, this is stupid. Again, if she doesn't know, you are, like, fucking hurting your daughter's cred. You're messing with her, and, like, to me, if I was presented with a Zelda game, or just, like, any game for that matter, that I absolutely loved, and if you haven't played Wind Waker, there was a lot of stigma about the cell shading, because people thought it was going to be like Twilight Princess, because it was, you know, for the GameCube, and the and everything was coming out, and, you know, but it's become kind of a cult classic, and it's kind of hard to find. I still have my original, but, you know, if you have a game that you love, and you find out that it was a lie, that would immensely taint for me any time I looked at that game again. You know what I mean? Like, you'd feel like
you've been misled.
Right. And it's like, you know, especially the first time you play through. Now, if she'd play through and be like, hey, look, Link's a girl. It's like, it doesn't matter. Really? It's like...
Especially a game like that. Now, there are some games where the male and female playthroughs, such as like Saints Row the Third, if you play as a male character, you get totally different dialogue and character interactions than you play as a female character.
There's a lot of games like that. But this article cites and says, like, just goes to show you the importance of, like, character modification. It's like, no, it doesn't. You know, it's like, I would still play other games if I couldn't play as a girl. Like, yeah, I'll play as a girl.
But this also comes down to race as well. I saw this a lot in the early 2000s. There was an article, there was a news piece on BET about the lack of black playable characters in GameCube and PlayStation games. It was ridiculous that, oh, you always got to play as the white guy. Well, so? Do you remember the Aliens vs. Predator game that came out a couple of years ago?
Very briefly. Like, I never played it.
Okay, it's a first person. So
I couldn't be a girl. I'm kidding.
If you play the Marine campaign, all you can, you know, it's a first person, so all you can see is your own hands, basically, which have gloves on them. It's not until you finally get to a third person cutscene right at the end that you find out you've been playing a black dude the whole time. Did all of a sudden I find out I'm not playing a white dude? I don't like this game anymore?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't fucking matter. Your character was cool. Who gives a shit if it's a black guy or an Asian guy or a chick?
Well, and then, you know, like, because, I mean, we've talked about this many times about people getting mad and going on crusades on behalf of a certain group, like, that doesn't even apply to them. We talked about, you know, numerous times, so many shows. So then you wonder, it's like, all right, well, we're going to have a game with a black guy. But let's say, well, like with like Saints Row and things like that, I'm sure there were people that were mad and be like, oh, well, you can play as a black guy, but he's a ghetto thug. And that's just wrong. It's like, you're not going to please everybody. No matter what you do, you're going to piss people off. It's just going to happen. I wish we had a longer show, but I'm sure we'll talk about this eventually. I just needed to get this main part out of my system. All right. Dealing with the whole, are you a gamer? Are you not a gamer? Poser, fake, whatever. We're just going to stick on gamers versus geeks. You've got the people where, and it goes for guys and girls. Like, when I say that there's people that it applies to where they're like, oh yeah, I'm a gamer, but it's kind of like saying you're tech because you can defrag your computer. There's guys that only play Call of Duty and they think they're gamers, or guys that only play World of Warcraft and they call themselves a gamer. It's like, yeah, you might spend 15 hours a day playing one game. You're not necessarily a gamer. So it's just
not part
kind
of game culture.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I've got my retro shit. I've got my new shit. A lot of the newer stuff I'm not that pwned up on, just because I don't really, some of the stuff isn't appealing to me as much as it did anymore, but, you know, they'll come out with stuff and I'll try it out. But yeah, I've got Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Dreamcast, PS2, Wii, 360, Game Boy, 3DS, you know, so I try and make it an array, and I'll probably get the Wii U when actually it has a Zelda release. Honestly, I have no interest in the Wii U.
I have an Atari, five Nintendos, two Super Nintendos, three Sega Genesises, two Sega CDs, a TurboGrafx-16.
You're supposed to send me a
GameCube. Two Xbox 360s, two PS2s, three GameCubes, which I'm supposed to send one to you.
Yay. And a VCR.
And a VCR. A bunch of games for all of those. Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color.
So, all right. So you have girls as well that will say, oh, I'm a gamer. I play Call of Duty with my boyfriend. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you're not a gamer. In the same aspect, kind of tying into geek culture, what have you, you get that with anime too. And again, I said in last segment, I am not the end all be all of anime fandom. I know there's tons of people, but I'm still a fan. Like, I love it. I love most of the stuff I see. I'm always apt to getting exposed to more. But then you've got people that are like, oh yeah, I love anime. Like, I'm a huge anime nut. And be like, really? What do you like? Cowboy Bebop. Anything else? Well, yeah, some Naruto. Like, that type thing. It's like, yeah, you like some anime. You've seen it.
Call those dabblers.
Right, or Dragon Ball Z, that's the other one. Be like, Dragon Ball Z, hands down, you know. And then basically anything you've been exposed to on Adult Swim before they started airing the same episodes over and over again. So that's what I mean. Like, I mean, they're not necessarily posing. They just don't know any better. If you come out as kind of saying that that's your cred and you're talking to another gamer that is like more up on everything, they're probably going to get kind of frustrated with you. Like, if I met somebody and I was like, oh, dude, I'm a huge gamer, da 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 da, and they're like, oh, I am too, and I try and start a conversation, and they have no clue what I'm talking about in anything, and I'm like, okay, well, what Nintendo games or what, you know, Dreamcast games, or like, I never really played it. It's like, well, what do you play? They list me, like, three games. I'm going to be like, crickets, you know? So it's kind of a fine line, and it's kind of, you know, I guess, the pot calling the kettle black, in a way of being like, oh, well, there's the stigma. But again, stigma does exist, but nobody's really like, oh, fuck you, you only play Call of Duty. It's more so just kind of, all right, back away slowly, you can't talk geek with this person. But if you're going to come out publicly and kind of be like, oh yeah, I'm a huge geek and this big persona, it's like, and all you do is play World of Warcraft, you're kind of going to get laughed out by anybody that's not a huge WoW head. So, I mean, it's all walks and all types, and it's just kind of, it is frustrating from a standpoint. And I mean, who knows, like, you know, I call myself an anime geek, but at the same time, I'm sure if I met somebody that was like, have you heard of this, this, and this, and this, and be like, well, no, but I'd be like, but I have heard of, you know, these 200.
But Jay, you also have to look at the fact that those girls that play Call of Duty with their boyfriends, I hate to say this, but Call of Duty is like a gateway game nowadays. The Call of Duty and Medal of Honor stuff, that is their first game. And then after that, they go, what else? Oh, Halo is like this. Let's try that. And then after this, oh, Mass Effect you can do. And then, oh, Fallout you can do. And it's like Call of Duty is sort of the gateway drug, if you will.
I guess so. But at the same time, if you're a girl and you consider yourself a gamer, but you're only playing games when your boyfriend is, not technically a gamer. It's kind of like you're a social drinker. You're not really a drinker, but you'll do it if someone else is. I'm sorry. It's like you can't say you're big on something in culture if you only do it when your significant other is, so you can spend time with them, because otherwise they'll be on the game themselves. You see what I mean? That's kind of like, oh my God, I'm addicted to WoW. I love it. And be like, okay, well, when do you play? Well, whenever my boyfriend's on and we like talk and we quest together, I don't really know what I'm doing. And it's like, well, then you're probably not as big as you think you are, you know?
No, I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just throwing out a couple of alsos for you.
And again, like I said, I'm sure this is probably coming off as like, you know, pot calling the kettle black at the same time where, you know, I'm lashing out against the stigma against fake. And it's like, again, I'm not saying they're necessarily fake. They just don't know any better. Like, I'm sure some people may present themselves in a way, like if you meet somebody and you kind of like them and, you know, be like, oh yeah, I'm a huge geek and I, you know, do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it doesn't
but
even
Jay,
matter.
Doesn't
if you are, if you're faking, and it doesn't even matter. Like, if you're lying out of your teeth and you say that you have, I don't know, fucking ColecoVision at home or something because you want to get in some girl geek's pants or vice versa, you're going to get found out. What the fuck does the rest of the people care if you're faking? Like, there was this huge thing with Felicia Day that we can't talk about, but I mean, this shit goes around all the time, so I'll try and remember next time. But
everyone has to start somewhere, right?
They do, but at the same time, if I just buy a computer, let's say, you know, it's the 90s, I loaded up the internet, am I like a computer tech person because I know how to load up the internet? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's stages.
But everybody has to start somewhere. If Call of Duty is that girl's entry level, then she might like playing other than with her boyfriend.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about the people that is all they do. Again, I'm not speaking in terms of rules. I'm saying these types of people where that is all they do. Not just, oh, I just started playing Call of Duty. It's, oh, I'm a huge gamer. I've been playing for like, you know, 3 years. Oh, well, I just play Call of Duty. Do you see what I mean? Like, that doesn't make you a gamer. That makes you love Call of Duty from like a cultural standpoint. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not like, poser. It's just like, I'm not going to have anything to talk to you about you know, geek culture wise, because you don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if you meet someone, they're like, oh yeah, I'm total buff on this, and you try and talk to them, they have nothing to contribute. And that's kind of frustrating. So it's like, all right, well, what do you like? What do you play? Call of Duty. And it's like, all right, well, yeah, I'm good, because I haven't played first person since Rainbow Six Vegas. So
I was going to say, aren't you the one that likes to kill people with proximity mines?
Fucking A, I do, and remote mines. I will get my Xbox Gold back, and I will be on the next one that comes out. I don't wanna get the last Halo, because everybody's already learned the hot spots and sweet spots. The trick is, you gotta get those games when they come out. Then you learn the sweet spots yourself, because if you get it like months later, be like, yay, it went down $10. You're gonna play like the multiplayer or the PvP, what have you, and you're gonna be like, oh my god, I keep dying every time I spawn. It's because people have had the game for 6 months and learned those spots. If you don't know your shit, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to like point a finger and be like, you're a phony. But at the same time, you're going to kind of learn. And I know there are people that get super mad, but if you come out and make like videos or speak publicly or something like that, and if you present yourself as a huge geek or, you know, what have you, whether it be, you know, anime, sci-fi, whatever, like if you were sci-fi, you're like, oh my God, I'm huge on sci-fi. I love, you know, be like, what do you like? Star Wars and Star Trek. All right, what else? Well, I mean, that's pretty much, but I'm like a huge fan of those. Be like, all right, well, you're a Star Wars and Star Trek fan. You're not necessarily a huge sci-fi geek because you don't like anything else. Does the correlation make sense? Am I like...
It does. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's fine.
What don't you agree with?
I think you can be a sci-fi fan if you just like Star Trek and Star Wars. I don't see... Like, oh, you don't like Space 1999 and Max Headroom?
No.
Then you're not a true fan. That to me almost smacks of snobbery.
I'm not listing other examples, though. If those are the only two things in the world that you like are Star Trek and Star Wars out of the sci-fi genre, the only two. I'm not saying, oh, well, you don't like this or you don't like that. It's like, if those are the only two things you can name, you're not a sci-fi geek. You're a Star Wars, Star Trek geek. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't group in an entire genre if the only thing you like are two things. That would be like me saying, I'm a chef because I can make two dishes. You're not a chef. So I'm not saying like, oh, you like Star Wars and Star Trek, but you don't like Zardoz or you don't like this or what have you. There's people that love fantasy, but don't necessarily like Lord of the Rings, which is weird to me. But at the same time, I don't look at them and I'm like, what? You don't like Lord of the Rings? Well, you don't really like fantasy, because they like a shit ton of other stuff. So in that aspect, do you see the difference here?
I do. I think you're splitting hairs, but I do.
It's not splitting hairs. If you only like two things in a genre, you can't be like, you know, an aficionado of the culture of it.
What about pornography? I like to see people have sex on film. Do you really need to be more specific than that?
Now you're splitting hairs. I'm talking about geek culture.
I know, but it's because we're running out of time. All right, where can people find you?
I am on the interwebs. You can find me on Twitter, The Mistress J, Facebook under Jillian Zarowski, and I am somewhat often on thecinemasnob.com, as well as semi-sometimes featured on geekjuicemedia.com.
Right now, you can only find me, other than Jackalope, obviously, on geekjuicemedia.com, because my website is down and I do not know when it will be back or if it will be back. Read Sanity is Razor Thin at Geek Juice Media, and go download old episodes of this show from the archives so you can hear really quiet, not wanting to stand up to Josh, Jillian, in the really early episodes. It's funny. Night, guys.
Night.
Better off dead, 'cause I hate you.